بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وامرهم شورى بينهم وقال تعالى واستغفر لهم وشاورهم في الامر فاذا عزمت فتوكل على الله ان الله يحب المتوكلين Respected brothers and my dear elders, in our life we come across many instances and occasions where we have to make a decision about a certain important matter. Sometimes this important matter could be related to our dunya. For example, taking up a job, choosing which university to attend, adopting a career, choosing a spouse, wife, or if it's a girl or woman, a husband, buying a house, etc., etc. Over and over again throughout our lives, we come across such instances where we have to take certain decisions. Sometimes these decisions can be related to our deen. For example, if there is a student of deen, which madrasa he should attend, which books he should study, if a person should sit in i'tikaf or not, which mufti should he refer to in adopting or taking his masail. So in summary, we come across many instances where we have to take a decision regarding something. Now people are of two types. Or there are two approaches that we can take in this instance. One approach is that a person uses his own intellect and whatever his intellect tells him is correct, he takes this approach and this stance. And he makes his decision according to what he feels right. This is one approach. Another approach that a person can take, which is the Islamic approach, which is the teachings that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has left us with, the teaching that the Quran has left for us, is that whenever a person comes across an instance in his life where he needs to take an important decision, if it is a trivial matter, some small matter, or something which he has to do, then obviously there is no need to ask mashwara from somebody. You not ask somebody for mashwara that should I pray fajr or not? Should I go for Hajj or not? Should I obey my parents or not? Because this is something that you have to do. But there are many instances where you have multiple choices or where you have a choice of doing something or leaving something out. So in this case, our deen teaches us that we should not rely upon our own intelligence. We should not rely upon our own intellect. We should not only rely upon what our mind is telling us. Rather, we should find somebody who has experience in the matter that we are stuck in, or in the matter that we have to take a decision in. And somebody who has love for us, somebody who cares for us, and we should take mashwara from this person. It doesn't have to be only one person. It can be two, it can be three, it can be four, it can be five, depending on the situation, depending upon the need. Our deen teaches us that you should not only rely upon your own intellect. مَنْ أُعْجِبَ بِرَأْيِهِ ضَلَّ There is a saying that مَنْ أُعْجِبَ بِرَأْيِهِ ضَلَّ The one who is overconfident regards his own opinion, he will always go astray. The reason being that a person should not only rely upon his own opinion is because whenever a person is in a situation, many a times, he only sees one aspect in front of him. And he fails to take other aspects into consideration. He only sees one aspect in front of him. Let me give you an example. For example, there is a person who works in Toronto and he earns $25,000 per annum, $40 per annum. He is offered a job in a city maybe an hour's drive away from Toronto, 2 hours drive away. I don't know here, but in England, people commute 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. They go and they come back. So they go in the morning and they come back late in the evening. They don't live in the city where they are working. Many a times it's because of better job prospects. So you have a person who is earning $40,000 per year. He is offered a job with double the wage, $80,000 per year in another city, which is 2 hours drive. He will have to drive there 2 hours a day and 2 hours back. Now this person, he has to make a decision that should he take up this job or not. What generally will happen is that this person will only look at one aspect. And what is that? The money. He sees that I am earning $40,000. This will jump up to $80,000. And if he does not take mashwara from anyone, then he will, just on this based on this one aspect, he will take this decision and take up this job. Our deen teaches us that no. What should you do? Ask somebody who is in a similar situation, who has been in a similar situation. Ask them how their experience was. This person will now tell you that, brother, you may jump up from 40 to 80,000 pounds, but remember that you will have to leave from your city at this time in the morning. You will come back this late at night. And because of this, this will have a knock-on effect on your family life. So you may earn more money, but you will not be able to do the tarbiyah of your children. Because when you leave in the morning, they are sleeping. When you come back at night, they are sleeping. And come Saturday, Sunday, you are so tired that you do not have enough energy inside you to look after your children. Your wife, your connection with her will slowly, slowly decrease because you will not see one another enough. So it's up to you. If you want to take up this job, it's up to you. I've been in this situation. I've worked in a similar situation for 2 years, and this is what happened to me. So it's up to you. But if remember this, keep this in mind. Now you see this person has another aspect to consider. Now he will take his decision wisely. He will not rush in his decision. Another example, you have a young man. He falls in love with some girl because of her looks, because of her intelligence, or for some other reason. And he wishes to marry this woman. Now the only thing that he can see in front of him is that she is my Miss World, Miss Canada, Miss Universe. She is, as far as her looks are concerned, there is nobody like her. He can only see one aspect in front of him, which is lust. And upon this, he is taking his decision that he wishes to marry this girl. Now, if this person takes mashwara from somebody who is older than him, somebody who has more experience than him, somebody who is already married and who has already taken such a decision, he will tell him that, brother, don't only look at this one aspect. You have to look at and take many other things into consideration. For example, you are educated, she is uneducated. Or you are uneducated, she is educated. Now, she may look pretty. You see her once in a while, so your relationship is all rosy. The day you get married, you will be living together. She is educated and she has a career. She is a career-minded woman. She is going to go out at work 7 o'clock in the morning and come back at 6 o'clock in the evening. Until today, you are used to eating your mom's food. From tomorrow, when you get married, you'll be eating food from the microwave. She doesn't have time to cook for you. You may want children. If she's a career-minded woman, she's not going to want to have children for a number of years. You'll be doing the chores in the house and she'll be out working. If you want to marry this woman, it's up to you. You come from a different culture, she comes from a different culture. That does not mean that people of different culture and nationalities cannot get married. But our Shariat has taught us that we should take these things into consideration. If a person is a Gujarati, then his way of cooking, his way of eating, his lifestyle will be different to somebody who comes from another background. This is human nature. Every culture, every country, every society has their own way of living, has their own way of speech. You could have somebody who, for example, he marries into a family who are uneducated, who do not have that much knowledge, and he comes from an educated family. Now, their manner of speech will be far different to the way that he speaks. They may be speaking to him in a normal tone, which is their normal way of speaking, but he will find it rude. He will think that, what sort of people are these? So when a person, he asks somebody, he takes mashwara from someone, then he can see other aspects. This is why in Arabic they say, a poet, he says, اقرن برأيك رأي غيرك, that join with your rai, the rai of somebody else. فَإِنَّ الْحَقَّ لَا يَخْفَى عَلَى اثْنَيْنِ, اقرن برأيك رأي غيرك فإن الحق لا يخفى على اثنين فالمرء مرآة تراه تريه وجهه فالمرء مرآة تريه وجهه. He says that with your opinion, join the opinion of somebody else. With your opinion, join the opinion of somebody else. Ask somebody else. Why? Because when you ask somebody else, then you will find other aspects. And Allah will give you barakat in this mashwara of yours. You, if you have only one opinion, then this is like a person who has one mirror in front of him. When you have one mirror in front of you, you can only see your own face. When you go for a haircut, what do they do after they finish? They have one mirror in front of you and they put one mirror behind. So you can see the back, that has he done the line properly or not. So the poet, he says, I cannot recall the verses of the poet correctly, but the message that he is trying to give is that when you, if you take your own decision, this is like you looking in front of the mirror. So you are only seeing one side of the situation. If you look and take the opinion of somebody else, then you will see from the behind. You will see from the side. You will see things from a bird's eye view. And your decision will be far more better than that person who takes his decision on his own. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he ordered Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to also do mashwara. Whereas Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had a direct connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had a direct connection with the wahi. And there was no need for him to do mashwara. Despite this, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the Quran? وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. That in your matters, you should do mashwara with the sahaba-i kiram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een. Hazrat Qatada radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he mentions that what was the reason for this? When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not in need of mashwara, his connection was direct with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To the extent that the ulama say that the ijtihad of a nabi is equivalent to wahi and revelation. If a nabi is to make any decision, it is equivalent to a wahi and revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah will not make him, let him falter. Despite this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do mashwara with the sahaba-i-kiram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. What is the hikmah and wisdom behind this? One wisdom that the ulama have mentioned is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told to make mashwara with the sahaba to boost their morale, to make them feel important. This is also a hikmah and wisdom behind mashwara. Many a times our younger generation, they find themselves in a situation, like I gave an example, choosing a career, choosing a university, choosing a spouse. And they think to themselves that my mom and dad, they come from Pakistan or Afghanistan or India. What do they know about universities? What do they know about career? That should I become a doctor or a lawyer or an accountant or this or that? What do they know about choosing a spouse? They are backwards. And they feel that there is no need for me to ask my parents. All I need to do is just go and inform them that I am going to take up this career, or I am going to go to this university, or I am going to marry this girl, end of story. And they just go and inform them. They don't sit down with their parents and discuss this matter in situation with them. Whereas, and the parents in this situation, when they do not have knowledge, they are not going to give an opinion. They'd probably just say, beta, whatever you feel right, you do. We don't have much knowledge in this regard. If you want to become a lawyer, alhamdulillah. If you want to become an accountant, alhamdulillah. But do something in your life. So the person feels that I don't need to ask my parents. Here in this situation, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not ask the sahaba. He did not need to ask the sahaba. But why was he told to ask the sahaba? To make them feel important. To make them feel a part of the mission that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was carrying out. Because each person has a sense of ego inside him. Every person likes to feel important. That I have some value. I have some importance. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told to make mashwara with the sahaba. We learn from this that sometimes we don't need to make mashwara to take the opinion of another person. We may not need the opinion of that person. Or that person may not even be in a position to give us an opinion. Like I gave you examples of this. That person does not have knowledge in this regard. But they are important as far as our life is concerned. Our relatives, our parents, our uncles, our aunts, our grandparents, our ustads, our teachers, our imam. They may not be in a position to give us a mashwara, but it is our duty that we make them feel important, because they are important and they deserve to be consulted in this matter. If we just make our decision and feel that I am now independent and I will just go and inform my parents, and what right do they have to say in regards to this? I want to move house. It is mine and my wife's decision. I've moved out of my parents' house. Why should I consult them that I want to buy a house in this area or that area? Should I buy this house or should I not buy this house? What does my father know? Imagine the feeling that this father will feel when his son behaves with him in this manner. That this young boy, when he was 1 year old, 2 years old, 3 years old, 5 years old, I sacrificed my 24/7, my every day and every night, my sleep, my relaxation, my time to bring up this child. I gave him love, I gave him affection, I spent my money behind this child. I gave up my youth to bring up this child, give him a good education, gave him a bright future. I worked my socks off so that my son can have a bright future as far as the dunya is concerned. And now this son grows old and he becomes independent. He's a married man or he has his own group of friends and he does not want to turn back and look at his parents. All he does is go and tell them that this is the decision I've made. Imagine how hurt these parents must feel. If we look into our lives, my dear brothers, and especially my young friends, we will see that this is our attitude with our elders. We see no need whatsoever to consult them in our affairs and matters. If we're not married, we're 18, 19, and we have a group of friends, this is our group of mashwara. Whatever they say, we follow that path. And then a person becomes married, and he becomes his wife's. He does not feel a need to consult his parents whatsoever. They are not important in his life anymore. Many a times, parents, unfortunately, they cannot even say a word. But this hurts them. And this will come back to haunt us, my dear brothers. Many a times a person makes a decision, it comes back to haunt him. This is why the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ma nadima man istashar." That person who makes mashwara, he will not regret later on. So one reason why the Prophet ﷺ did mashwara was to make the sahaba feel important. Another aspect to remember and keep in mind here is, just like those who are younger should do mashwara with those who are elder than them, those who are important in their lives. Similarly, we should also do mashwara with those who are younger than us, with those who are members of our family. Just like the son should do mashwara with his father. Similarly, the father should also do mashwara with his son. He should let the son know as to what is happening inside the home. If the father decides that we are going to move from this area to another area, he should not have a dictatorship attitude. That I don't need to ask my wife, I don't need to ask my children. If I want to move, I want to move, it's up to me. This is not the attitude that our deen teaches. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was he of a higher status or the sahaba? Obviously he was of a higher status. Despite this, he was told to do mashwara with the sahaba, to make them feel important. Similarly, it is a father's responsibility. If a person in the masjid, he is the president, he is in charge, he should not have an attitude that I am the dictator here. Whatever I say goes. He should feel that those who are younger than me, I should also take mashwara from them. Maybe they may have an opinion or something may come in their mind which is not coming in my mind. Something may come to their mind which is not coming to my mind. So father, he should consult his children. So they also feel a part of this home. They also feel that we are also a part of this family. We are all together in this mission of ours. We are all together as one unit. So just like those who are elder, they should do mashwara. Those who are younger should do mashwara with those who are elder than them. Similarly, those who are elder should do mashwara with those who are younger than them. Hakim al-Ummah Thanwi rahmatullahi used to mention that until our elders, my elders were alive, I used to do mashwara with them in my affairs, in my dini affairs, in my dunyawi affairs. Once they left this world, then I started to do mashwara with those who were the same age as me. And when they also left me, and there was nobody left, then I would do mashwara with those who are younger than me. Similarly, in our dini affairs, a person is in need of mashwara. One sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked him for ijazah and permission to go for jihad. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ahayyun walidak." He asked him permission to go for jihad. So this is basically indirectly a mashwara that should I go for jihad or not? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ahayyun walidak, are your parents alive?" He said, "Yes." And the Prophet ﷺ knew that this person, his parents are in need of his khidmah. So his intention is to go for jihad, a great act of worship. But what did the Prophet ﷺ say? فَفِيهِ مَا فَجَاهِدْ. Go back home, your jihad is inside your home in the khidmah of your parents. So even in matters of deen, the Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they would consult Rasulullah ﷺ. They would not make their own decision. Somebody wakes up one morning, he has a wife and two children, and he decides that I want to become an alim. And he leaves his wife and two children behind and he goes off to India, Pakistan, England, South Africa to study. And he feels that I am doing a great service to deen. I'm becoming an alim and a scholar. He is not doing a service to deen. If he went to a true scholar, a mufti, and asked him and explained his whole situation, that I have a wife and two young children at home and I want to go and study, he would have told him that you are not allowed to go and study. You need to fulfill your responsibility at home first. What you are going to do is farz-e kifaya. There are many people fulfilling this responsibility. What you are supposed to do at home is farz-e ain. This is your responsibility. Nobody will take up this responsibility on your behalf. So we learn that mashwara is both in deen and also in dunya. And a person should make a habit that whenever some important issue comes in front of him, he takes mashwara from those who are important in his life, those who should be important in his life, and from those who have experience in this matter. If it is a matter of deen, then ask somebody who has knowledge of deen. Find an alim, connect yourself to an alim, and on every juncture in our life, we should take mashwara from this person. If it is something to do with dunya, then we ask somebody, we are deciding to buy a car, go to a mechanic and ask him that I'm deciding to buy, I want to buy so-and-so car. We will only see one thing, that the car looks good. The mechanic will tell us that in the last 2 months, 5 customers have come with this problem in this car. So free of charge, we are getting mashwara. My respected Shaykh Hafizahullah, he often mentions that his late father used to say that the person who takes mashwara, he has nothing to lose. Because if somebody gives you mashwara, you don't have to act upon it. You're taking the opinion. The one, if somebody asks me for my opinion, I will give my opinion. I'm not going to force him that whatever I say, you have to do. This is another injustice. If somebody takes mashwara from you, you give your opinion, it's up to him now, whether he wants to practice or not. So he used to say that mashwara is a free consultation. You are 25 years old, the person you are asking is 50. He has 25 years more experience of life than you. Why not, free of charge, take his mashwara in whatever matter you are stuck in? This will make life easier for you. So the summary of this is that our deen teaches us that whenever we are faced with any important situation, as far as our deen is concerned, as far as our dunya is concerned, then we should not make an independent decision. Rather, we should take mashwara, make a collective decision. Insha'Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us barakah in this. And one other hikmat why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told to do mashwara with the sahaba ikram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, Hazrat Hassan ibn rahmatullahi mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not in need of their mashwara, but he was told to do mashwara to teach the ummah a lesson, that if the Nabi is being told to do mashwara, then why should you not do mashwara? And فَإِذَا أَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. After you make mashwara, then make your intention and rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq and ability to understand whatever has been said. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى خَيْرِ خَلْقِهِ مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ.